Well, hello, this is Rupert Matthews, the National Campaign Manager at Better Off Out. This is our first podcast that we're doing, so I'm really not quite sure how it's going to go. But anyway, we start with a trip to Accrington in Lancashire. We follow that on with a visit to Birmingham, and finally we include our appearance at the Young Independence Conference. Now, you can find Better Off Out on Facebook, Twitter and YouTube, as well as on our own website, www.betteroffout.net. We welcome all Brexiteers. We offer a wide range of campaigning materials and activities. So if you want to help Britain leave the European Union, check us out, download some stuff, get going. Meanwhile, we're off to Accrington. Thanks. This is the first of our little slots from Accrington in Lancashire. This is when I met Edward Spalton from the Campaign for an Independent Britain just outside Accrington Town Hall. We had a little chat about what the European Union is costing the people of Accrington, Lancashire, and indeed all the rest of us. So have a little listen to this, find out what the European Union is costing you. Hello, here we are, we're in Accrington, we're unveiling our giant cheque showing that it costs the British people £185 billion a year to belong to the European Union. Obviously we're campaigning for Britain to leave the European Union because we'd be able to save an enormous amount of money, and it's not just the direct cost of paying money to the European Union, it's the cost of regulation, the increased cost of food and so on. But I'm here with Edward Spalton from Campaign for an Independent Britain. Edward, what do you think?
Well, I'm very pleased to support this campaign. I've been a member of the Freedom Association for many years, as well as now being chairman of the Campaign for an Independent Britain. These costs, which have been worked out very carefully by that eminent economist, Professor Tim Congdon, are enormous. But I think that the main cost to us is not so much the cash cost as the cost to our democracy, because it makes a sham out of our parliament, because so many of the laws which we have to obey are not made by the people we elect but by people in Brussels whom we don't know and we can't sack.
Indeed. And of course we've got the referendum coming up in the not too distant future, when British people have an opportunity to vote, get out of the European Union. I'll be voting out. What about you?
I think you can safely say that I will be. I've been campaigning for this for over 40 years, so I'm looking forward to it.
Great, there you go. Thanks very much. So come the referendum, vote out. Stop on our visit to Accrington was to go to the Winney Hill Brickworks. That's the home of the Norrie brick, probably Accrington's most famous export. And although it's just a small brickworks in Lancashire, it really had a lot to teach us about international trade and the United Kingdom's relationship with the European Union, which wasn't really what I was expecting. But anyway, have a listen to this, see what you make of it. Right, well, here we are. We're at the Winney Hill Lane Brickworks in Accrington. This is the home of the famous Norrie brick. The Norrie brick is the hardest, toughest, strongest brick in the world. They were developed back in the 1880s, but of course they weren't actually meant to be called the Norrie brick at all. The idea then was that they were going to be called the iron brick to emphasize how tough and strong they were, but unfortunately the team of workmen they got in to make the moulds, when they carved the word iron into the mould so they would appear on every brick, they forgot that when you turn the brick out it will be the other way around. So they put iron the right way around, so it came out on the brick as Norrie. Anyway, that was more than 100 years ago. The Norrie brick has become absolutely famous for building tough, strong foundations. The Empire State Building, foundations are made from Norrie bricks. Sydney Harbour Bridge, foundations are made from Norrie bricks. Blackpool Tower, foundations are made from Norrie bricks. The Norrie brick was being sold all around the world because in the 19th century, Britain traded all around the world. Well, they're still making the Norrie brick here today. Let's go and have a look at some. So here they are, the famous Norrie brick. Toughest, strongest bricks in the world, all made in Accrington. They've been making them here for 150 years. They've been exporting all around the world for 150 years. And of course, the best thing that can help British exporters trying to earn money in foreign markets is a free trade agreement. Back when these bricks were first made 150 years ago, Britain was able to negotiate free trade agreements with any country we wanted. But today we can't. And the reason we can't is because we're in the European Union. It's the European Union that arranges trade deals for Britain these days, and they don't arrange free trade deals. They arrange what they call preferential trade deals, independent trade deals, all sorts of things. But they're not what British exporters need. All those trade deals are arranged with European manufacturers in mind, Italian shoemakers, Portuguese fishermen, whatever. So if Britain was to leave the European Union, we would be able to arrange free trade deals with other countries that suit British manufacturers, that would be earning money for Britain, creating jobs in Britain for British workers. So this is the Norway brick, one of our great successful exports, and if we left the European Union, it would be more successful still. That's one of the reasons why I'm going to be voting out in the referendum. Stop on our visit to Accrington was a magnificent market hall. Now, I actually went there to buy a quarter of Jelly Babies. Once I got there, I realised that it could teach us quite a lot about the European Union trade regulations, UK's relationship with the EU, and what we've got to gain in the way of free trade by leaving the European Union. Right, well, here we are at Accrington Market Hall. There's been a market here since at least 1547. That's when the first market here at Accrington was mentioned. Now, I've come here for a number of reasons. First of all, let's have a look at the design of the building. It's purely Italian in design. Look at the top up there. They're Roman mythological figures, gods, cherubs, all the rest of it, straight out of Roman mythology. And yet this building was put up in 1869. That's more than 100 years before Britain joined what was to become the European Union. Back then, we had cultural links, trade links, business links with Europe. People went on holiday there. And if we leave the European Union, none of that's going to change, just like before the European Union even existed. We'll be trading with Europe, we'll be doing business with Europe, we'll be going on holiday to Europe. It'll all carry on as before. But there's more here, so I want to go inside and show you a couple of other things. That's a quarter of Jelly Babies, and I've got the right money as well. Thanks very much.
Okay, thank you, bye.
Jelly Babies, yum, just love Jelly Babies. Anyway, we come into Accrington Market here. Obviously there's a lady selling sweets, there's a butcher's behind me, there's a lady selling handbags, someone else selling toys. Lots of little local businesses selling stuff to local people here in Accrington. The reason why I wanted to come in here is to make the point that only about 10% of businesses in Britain trade with the European Union. And yet 100% of British businesses have to obey all the rules dreamed up by the Brussels bureaucrats. Now, these rules are put together to benefit Sicilian fishermen, Portuguese olive growers, French farmers, and yet someone selling Jelly Babies in Accrington has to abide by all those rules. It's an absolute nonsense. It's shackling British business. It's holding us back from being as prosperous as we should be. At least I've got some Jelly Babies. So there we are, Accrington Market Hall, busy with shoppers, lots of local businesses, everyone trading busily there. Nothing to do with the European Union, and yet they have to obey all the rules of the European Union. Fortunately, we've got a referendum coming up, and we'll have the opportunity to vote to take Britain out of the European Union. For myself, I'll be voting out. Now, our next visit was to Birmingham. Must say it absolutely poured with rain the day we were there. I was actually on my way to meet some Brexiteers at the Birmingham Library, but on my way I passed an absolutely magnificent statue of King Edward VII. And I stopped to have a look at it and then realised that actually old King Edward could teach us quite a bit about Britain's place in the world and our possible relationship with other countries if we vote to leave the European Union. So I thought I'd stop in the rain and just record a quick piece for us. Well, hello and welcome to a really very wet and soggy Birmingham. Behind me here we've got the statue of King Edward VII. It was put up in 1910 by public subscription of the citizens of Birmingham. And actually that block of Carrara marble you've got up there still holds the record for being the biggest lump of marble ever to be imported into Britain from Carrara in Italy for carving into a statue. So the reason why I thought I'd just do a quick little talk here, say something about King Edward VII and what he can teach us about the current debate about the European Union. Edward VII was king of this country from 1901 to 1910. He was not just the king of Great Britain, he was also the Emperor of India, and of course ruled the whole British Empire, Australia, Canada, India, Australia and so on. And today, of course, most of those countries are now independent, but English is still very much the main language that is spoken in the majority of those countries, or at least it's a second language, and that gives us a huge advantage when it comes to trading with those countries. So, were Britain to leave the European Union, as I believe it should, trade with the European Union wouldn't really be affected terribly much at all, but trade with the rest of the world would. In fact, Britain's trade with the European Union has been going down ever since 1995, and it's projected that by the year 2025 it'll go down by another 20%. Trade with the rest of the world, by contrast, has been going up since the year 2000, is projected to increase by 30% by 2025. So out there in the rest of the world, there's a great future for Britain as a trading nation, just as we were back in the days of King Edward VII, when we had free trade deals with all sorts of countries all around the world. We can do it again, and when we leave the European Union, we can do it again. So come the referendum, vote no. I think I'll find somewhere to get out of the rain now. Then after my meeting with our Birmingham gang of Brexiteers, I trotted over to have a look at what are called the Birmingham Golden Boys. That's a gilded bronze statue of Matthew Bolton, James Watt and William Murdoch, who really founded Birmingham as an industrial city back in the 18th century. And when I was looking, I went to look at it because I'm interested in history. Once I got there, I realised that actually we can learn quite a lot about free trade, how businesses run, and the problems with regulations coming from the European Union. So I thought I'd just stop and record a piece. Okay, well here I am in Broad Street in Birmingham. Behind me is a statue known as the Golden Boys. And it's really a statue that sums up so much about what's right in Birmingham, about the industry and so on. There's James Watt, the visionary inventor. There's William Murdoch, the engineer who got all his ideas into practice, and Matthew Bolton, the businessman who raised the finance and kept the business side of the company going. Together, these three men really epitomised what it was that set British industry going and what make small companies into big businesses. And yet the regulations coming out of the European Union are putting so much of that at risk. Top 100 regulations, 100 regulations from the European Union are costing British business £33.3 billion every year. Now that's hampering industry, it's stopping innovation, and it's stopping job creation as well. So the sooner we leave the European Union, the better it's going to be, not just for business, but everyone who works in business as well. So come the referendum, I'll be voting no. And I reckon they would have done as well.
happily to round off this podcast, I thought I'd include a speech that I gave to the Young Independence Conference. I was asked to speak there and was flattered to do so, but I was representing Better Off Out, of course, and I was talking about the reasons why Britain should vote to leave the European Union. But more importantly, I was talking about the campaign to come, what we intend to do, how can we cooperate with other bodies and so forth. I must say, the Young Independents were a great movement. I had a really warm welcome. And any young Brexiteers out there, I think maybe you ought to check them out, consider joining them. Anyway, here's the speech.
Right, so here is the man coming up next, Rupert Matthews, who is hopefully going to give us the rallying call, tell us about the Better Off Out campaign. I'm really excited to hear it. He's already seen the MEPs and they're already on board. So let's all give him a big round of applause.
Thank you for that great introduction, Joe. It's always nice to have no pressure at all when you stand up and start talking. Anyway, I haven't come here to tell you that there's going to be a referendum on Britain's place in the European Union. I haven't come here to tell you about the issues that are going to be at stake in that referendum. And I haven't come here to tell you that that referendum is going to be the most important vote in a generation in this country. What I've come here to tell you is that we will win. Yeah. We will win because we have got right on our side. Yeah. We will win because we have got freedom on our side. We will win because we have got democracy on our side. And we will win because we have got brave, stalwart figures, such as Nigel Farage, Bill Etheridge, David Coburn, all of whom are going to be here tomorrow addressing you. And because we have got so much on our side, we will win this referendum. But we will only win it if we work hard. Because be under no illusions, the forces ranged against us are powerful, they are ruthless, and they are unscrupulous. We have got against us the European Commission. Now, I know we frequently take the mickey out of them for being corrupt, incompetent, and inept, but they are very good at protecting their own interests. If you get out there, you look at the office block they're in, the luxurious foyer that the European Commission has. Now, I've not got to get any further than that, so I don't know what their offices are like, but I'm going to guess they're pretty nice. And if the European Commission wants to continue the flow of British taxpayers' money going to the European Union, they've got to keep Britain within the European Union. But they're not going to come over here and say, oh, hello, I am the spokesman for European Union, you must vote yes, because they're not that stupid. They are already funding bodies and organisations within this country which they know will be making the mood music for a yes campaign. They have given tens of millions of pounds to the BBC, and we all know what line the BBC takes on this. But they are also giving money to all sorts of other NGOs, charities. The RSPCA, for instance, takes quite a good wedge of money from Brussels. What view do you think the RSPB are going to take when it comes to the referendum? And that's just the European Union. We've also got our own government to contend with, because they are just as determined to keep Britain in the European Union as is the European Union itself. Now, the bill about the referendum is even now grinding its way through Parliament, but what was the first thing David Cameron did when that bill was introduced? He put in a clause scrapping the old rule about purdah. That's the rule that stopped the government from interfering in elections and in referenda in this country. With that purdah gone, the government will be free to spend tens of millions of pounds of taxpayers' money, that's your money, on campaigning for a yes. And trust me, they are going to do it. And of course, we've been here before. Now, none of you were old enough to remember the 1975 referendum. I wasn't old enough to vote in it, but I am old enough to remember it. And back then, we were told this was all about trade. We were told this was about being friendly with our European colleagues. This was about being nice and modern and with it, as the phrase was back then. And anyone who was against the European Union was a little Englander, old-fashioned, backward-looking and old. I remember that campaign very well. And it was topped off by the Prime Minister, one Harold Wilson back then, going out and having negotiations in Brussels. And he came back with some magnificent victories after a huge row in Brussels. And he came back with six concessions that the European Union had made, six concessions that were going to be written into the treaties. And they were magnificent concessions. They were so good and so strong and so wonderful that nobody now has a clue what they were. But he at least got them written into a treaty. David Cameron is doing exactly the same thing, going through exactly the same game plan. He's going out to Brussels. George Osborne is going around the capitals of Europe. They will have rows, they will have arguments, they will have late night meetings with deadlocked discussions, and at the end of it, David Cameron will produce the concessions that he is getting from Europe. But they will be just as pointless and just as useless as those of Harold Wilson. And I'm going to lay money that David Cameron can't even get them written into a treaty. So what can we do about it? We can work, we can campaign, we can fight to secure the no vote that we all know is in the best interests of Britain. Outside in the foyer, Better Off Out has got a stand. Myself or Simon will be manning it throughout your weekend conference. We have got leaflets you can take away to deliver. If you want to take away 10 leaflets and deliver 10 leaflets, that's fine. If you want to take away 10,000 leaflets, that's fine too. We will give you as many as you think that you and your branch can deliver. We've got badges, we've got books, we've got all the paraphernalia of an election campaign. And I can now announce to you, and this is the first time I'm announcing this, that the Better Off campaign is launching its national campaign at the beginning of September. It's on the 2nd of September, a Saturday afternoon in Harrogate. So if you can be there, be there. I was very interested to hear Nigel Farage make a speech a couple of days ago, which he announced that UKIP were launching their national campaign in September, and I was gratified to see him following our lead. But it's not just Harrogate. If you can't get there, that's fine. We're going to be organising more than 20 meetings around the country in the course of September to launch our campaign right around the country. And yes, we are even going to Scotland. Not only are we going to Scotland, we're going to the SNP conference. Carried away, they haven't let us in, but we have got some stunts we're going to be doing in the streets outside. We'll be handing out leaflets and so on, and we are going to be going to all the party conferences. Now UKIP are a nice welcoming bunch, you've let us in, we've got a stand at the UKIP conference, which will be great, but we're going to all the conferences. Those that will let us in, that's fine. Those that won't let us in, we're going to be demonstrating and making a fuss outside, because we are going to demonstrate to the Europhile yes men that there is no such thing as a no-go zone for the no campaign. Out on our stand out there, we've got ways in which you can help us and we can help you. We've got a giant cheque made out for the amount of money that the European Union costs Britain every year. Get yourself photographed with it. We'll take your photo if you can't do a selfie, and then we'll give you the standard press release. You can just drop your name in, send it out to your local media when you get home. That is a good photo, an eye-catching photo that local media like, and it will kickstart the campaign in your area. We have also got a sheet that you can sign up, give us your name and your email address. We'll copy you in on everything that we're doing and how you can help us and how we can help you going forwards. Because if we work together, if all the Eurosceptic organisations work together, so not just UKIP or YI, Better Off Out, but things like the Bruges Group, Campaign for an Independent Britain, if we all work together, if we all cooperate together, then we will win. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. about wraps it up for our first podcast. Hope you've enjoyed it. I certainly have. Anyway, I'll be back with more in the near future, so keep an eye out and keep an ear out as well, because there'll be a lot more where this came from. Cheerio, and the best of British to all Brexiteers out there.